You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Okay. Let's test this. Yay. Last time I was here, I left this on in my bag. And when I went to use it the other day, of course it was dead because it was like 2 months ago I was here. And I hadn't used it. So, my wife, who is the battery person in our house, came to the rescue. If you need power, if I need power replacement, I have to go to my wife. Glory to God. Hey, well, it's good to see you, and good to be back here. It doesn't seem like 2 months, eh? I know we've had Christmas in the middle, but where did that time go? So I'm going to just start off this afternoon with a little bit of a recap of things we did last, because normally we would do all this consecutively in a week or 10 days or something, and I'm pulling bits out of a 2 weeks worth of school to put into 2 weekends. So we're getting little bits, not everything, but we try to make it consecutive. So the difference between a school and a conference is, conference you can kind of just stab in where you like, but a school builds.
Yeah. School gives you
homework. Yeah. So, school works when you're at home as well as when you are here. Am I standing too near this, or do you want me to move?
Okay, I'm just...
You sure?
Okay. Just bear with me.
It's
me.
So, last time we talked about various issues of the heart. It was a very foundations to do with the importance of the heart, the dynamics of the heart, the cross, repentance, forgiveness, and I think we finished with dealing with disappointment. Okay. God is after our hearts. In fact, he never stops being after our hearts, in the good times and in the bad. And when we hit those bad times where it's like, oh Lord, I don't really want to be in this. You ever have times like that? Yeah, I wish I could get out of this right now. Those times when the Bible describes it like the desert winds and the desert heat. God says in Deuteronomy 8 that I took you into the wilderness to know what was in your heart. Not that he didn't know, it's just that we don't know. God always knows what's in here. But when it's all going hunky-dory, I'm oblivious of anything that's below the first couple of inches of my heart soil. Do you understand what I mean? I'm oblivious of the roots and the things that he wants to change because it's all going well. But when we start to hit challenges, maybe in relationships, and maybe an emotion keeps cropping up, maybe we go through a difficult time and we suddenly find ourselves thinking differently or feeling differently, then we know that God is after our hearts and he's pulling up some things that are in there. About 2 weeks ago, I was lying in bed and I think it was a vision, but it might have been a dream because I kind of tend to go in and out where they get a bit mixed up. But I saw this landscape which was like desert sand. And suddenly this massive wind went whoosh, and about, I don't know, I want to say a meter of topsoil or top sand blew out the way. And poking out of the ground were these, they looked like carrots. They were taproots, hidden. But they were now exposed sufficiently to pull them out. And I believe the Lord is doing that right now. He's blowing with the wind to expose things that we've got away with. Not because he's cynical, not because he wants to beat us up, but because he wants us free. And because he wants to prepare us for what he's about to do. I think I said last time, but forgive me if I did or didn't. I don't always remember what I say in every place. But, you know, any time God moves, there's always a before season. Whether it's the coming of Jesus, whether it's a revival, you know, whatever it is, there's this before moment. Whether it's crossing into the promised land, there's a before moment. And in that before season, which we call John the Baptist season, there's this intense preparing of our hearts. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight in your life. He's talking literally about building a motorway. I don't know if you can see. He says, take down all the lumps and bumps, the hills. Fill in all the holes. Straighten out the crooked bits. And then we've got a road for the glory of God to come down. And see, the glory of God can't come down crooked roads. God doesn't travel so slowly that he has to keep going around the bends. When he comes suddenly, as we know from Acts 2. We know from Mark chapter 1, where there's a word repeated many times, and it's the word immediately. It's like, boom, 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 boom. Some of us are waiting for those seasons where God goes, boom, boom, boom. Holy Spirit comes, boom, boom, boom. The sick get healed, boom, 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 boom. Some of us are waiting for those seasons. But in order for that, he has to have a road. And so Isaiah 40 and John the Baptist's ministry is about creating what he calls the highway. The motorway, the autobahn for his glory. And that is straight and flat. And when you have a straight, flat road, you can go fast. Yeah? And God's not a British driver when he comes. He's a German. Have you seen how fast they drive? I've been on the autobahns and you're doing like 80 miles an hour and you pull out to overtake and all of a sudden there's this guy coming up behind you like 150. God's coming with his glory like that. He's coming fast. And so the intensity of his work in our hearts is that he has to deal with every gap and hole and hill and crooked thing because he loves us so much. And so when we talk about these things, it's not so we get intense, but it's to understand that he's got a process. He wants a heart that is like his. The more my heart is like his, the more he can fill my heart. God can visit us at any time, but he can only remain in a location that looks like him. Okay? Visitation can come any moment, but for him to abide, he has to find something that looks like his shadow, something that looks like his shape, something that looks like heaven on earth. And so he's working to shape us. When Solomon built the temple, it was according to a pattern that David, his father, had downloaded from heaven. And the reason it had to be downloaded was because it had to look like something in heaven. And when it was built, according to the pattern, it now looked like something there. And God can say, ah, yeah, I recognize that. I'm coming down. And so he's after our hearts to do the same. Ah, yeah, I love that heart. I can feel it. And so these are exciting times because the Holy Spirit is about to move. And revival is coming. A big harvest is coming. And I believe Jesus is coming. And so there are three things we set our sights on. revival, the harvest, and the return of the King. And all of these are on our horizon. All of these are things we're pushing towards. And so the Holy Spirit will be preparing our hearts. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his road straight. Because that's how he wants us to be. So last time we talked a few points, and I'm going to go through them for the first part of this afternoon. And very quickly, if you weren't here, I hope this will help. If you were here, I hope it will jog your memory from 2 months ago. And unless, of course, you've been reviewing this constantly, in which case that's really good, and you can come and do this session instead if you'd like to, okay? But we live in a world where damaged hearts are the norm. Even in church, we do tend to live from our heads rather than our hearts. It's not that your head is no good. Your head is really important, okay? Your mind is really important. But it's not enough, because the core of your being is your heart. God doesn't actually just want my mind. He wants to renew it, but he wants my heart. And so we focus on doing rather than being. Doing's important, but it's not enough to God, because he wants us to be and to live from a place of rest on the inside. And Sharon talked about Mary and Martha. That's the classic example of, will I be a doer or a beer? Yeah. And Jesus said, Mary the beer has chosen the better part. Now, when he'd gone, when they'd left, I'm sure she got up and washed the dishes. It wasn't that she didn't do anything. It's that she knew when to be. Okay? But we don't most of the time. We want to... Yeah? And often we're uncomfortable if we're not doing or buzzing around. Some of us are restless. If you're restless, there's a reason for it. And it's in your heart somewhere. Okay. Sharon mentioned Cain last time. Cain was a restless man. It says he dwelt in the land of Nod, which Nod means restlessness, not being able to settle. Cain became a restless man because he left the presence of God where he could find rest. And so we want to be those who rest on the inside. Jesus' desire for us is that we have a heart like his that is authentic and transparent. And those words alone can be threatening. Because in our flesh, we don't want to be transparent. We don't want everyone to be able to, oh, that's in there, is it?
Yeah.
We want to live with some walls up. I'll let you see in that window, but not that window. Yeah? But Jesus let us see in every window. He said, here I am. What you see is what you get. This is me. And he's trying to bring us into that place of security and healing where we are free enough to be real on the inside and the outside. He declared his mission in Luke 4, and that's really important. It hasn't changed. He unrolled the scroll. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I think I'll keep away from the speaker. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Yeah, to bind up the brokenhearted. Hey, Shao. To preach deliverance to the captives. The sight for the blind. The opening of the prison doors. For those who are oppressed. And to declare the year of God's favor. And so that mandate, and you remember what we said? What did he do after he'd read that? He closed the book. Okay? If you read Isaiah 60, you will find Jesus did everything that they tell you when they teach you to preach not to do. They say, teach it in context. Don't stop till you've read the passage. Jesus reads half a verse, half a sentence, and he shuts the book because he says, that half of the sentence is for now, the next half of the sentence is for another time. Now that's what Paul means when he said, rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know what's for now and what's for then. And some of us, if we don't know that, we think the bit that's for then is for now, or the bit that's for now is for then. And that's when we miss it. So Jesus knew which was for the present tense and which was for the future tense. And he shut the book before it got to the bit about judgment. That's critical for our understanding. Jesus, you know, if you've got your Bible, I'm going over things. But I like to emphasize this. If you've got your Bible, go to Isaiah 61. This is the passage Jesus read from in Luke 4. So he read, it was the reading in the synagogue for that Sabbath. He has been living in that place all his life, so he's been going to that Sabbath, that synagogue, every Sabbath. So let's say he's been going to church every Sunday, in our terms, in that church for 30 years. Or probably 28, because he might have been about 2 when he came there. Okay, but he's been going there for a long time. He's used to getting up, as all the guys did, in turn, and reading his bit. They are used to him doing it. But this time round, after he's been in the desert, which is a place of prepare the way of the Lord, he comes in with a different anointing. And he reads what in our Bible is verse 1 to, well, 1 to the first half of 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, haven't even got to the full stop. And the next bit says the day of vengeance of our God, but Jesus shuts the book before he gets to the day of vengeance. Jesus shuts the book before he gets to judgment. Why is that? Because he's not about judging you right now. That'll come another time. But until he, if you like, picks the book up again and reads the second half of the sentence, it's not time for that. But it is time for all of those other things. It is his time to bring you and I out of prison, wherever we are held by something, wherever we are held by a fear that won't go away, or a, you know, a memory that we can't get shot of, or, you know, a bitter thing that we just can't seem to get over, or a view of ourselves that we wish we could break and see something better. Or an if only I hadn't done that, that haunts us. Jesus has come to get you out of that prison in your heart. And guys, we all have them. Whoever you are, you're no different. We've all got our little set of prison doors. And he's come to get us out. So he's after our hearts to set us free. And that's really exciting. He's the healer of broken hearts and the one who brings our inner wounded places out of their prisons. Glory to his name. Yeah? Just put your hand on your heart. And let's say, Jesus, I give you my heart. You know every prison door here. Every place where something's holding me captive. Every place where I'm not quite free. Every place where I can't quite see clearly. Every place where it's broken and wounded. Every place where I've lost hope. I invite you in today. This is your territory. And I give it to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Jesus. So we went through some key scriptures, and I'll just touch on them again. Proverbs 4:23 is one of our really important keys. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring or flow all the issues of life. The NIV says it's a wellspring of life. The New Living says it determines the course of your life. So, you know, remember we said, we might say, if you went and did a survey on the street, excuse me, sir, excuse me, madam, what is the one most important thing that affects where you go in life? What will people say? Well, my money will be a big one. My family, my education, my job, my house, my other qualifications, my friends, my traveling experience. There's a lot of good things in there. But Jesus says the number one thing that determines where you will go and how successful you will be is the state of your heart. And so he's after our hearts because it's the number one. And he never takes his eyes off our hearts. We do, I do. I get occupied with other things. He never does. He's after your heart. Today. Amen. And another scripture is in Samuel. It's when Samuel comes to anoint David as king. And the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his... This is with one of the other brothers who was the hunky one, the handsome one, the one that looked like he could do the part. And Samson's about to make him king because he looks so good. And the Lord said, don't look at his appearance or his physical stature, because actually I've refused him. You know, God refuses ministry appointments to people. Sometimes. And he assigns ministry appointments to people on other times. Not based on how good they look, how many courses they've done, whether they can quote the Bible or not. He's looking at the state of their heart. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. And so Jesus is looking at our hearts today. And the third key scripture is in the parable of the soils, or we call it the parable of the sower sometimes. And in Mark's gospel, Jesus tells that parable. And then he says to his disciples, do you not understand this parable? How then are you going to understand any of the other parables? In other words, this one is the key to all the others. If you get this bit right, you start to hear God and understand him. If you don't get this bit right, then the other things won't make sense to you either. So really, this is quite an important key, wouldn't you say? And so he's referring up to the heart. The four types of soil are conditions of our heart. And so he's saying, if you get this one and understand those four soil types and really get this, and you start to dig good soil and get rid of the other three, then you're going to be in a position where you can start to receive all the other things God is saying to you. And through you. Amen? So, God places such high importance on our hearts. It's important for us to learn how to read our hearts. Many of us get into trouble because we don't know how to. Part of what we're doing here is learning to read. Because, you know, reading our hearts is a skill. It should be normal. But often We say things like, what are you feeling? And especially if it's a man, he'll say, well, I think so-and-so. Hmm? I didn't ask you what you think. I asked you what you feel. Hmm? What's going on inside you? And we did a little... Did we give out some sheets about emotions and things last time? Yeah. And different emotions to try and trap them. And I gave you a sheet to circle, I think. And you know, I would advise you to do that once a month. How am I feeling right now? That one, depressed or agitated or excited or hopeful or fearful. What are you circling? Then you take it to God. God, this is where my heart is right now. Tell me why. Yeah? Because when you start to dialogue with him like that, and you take this process seriously, he teaches you to read your heart. And this is quite important, because if he's reading it and I can't, then he and I are out of alignment. Okay? Does that make sense to you? So ask the Holy Spirit to help us tune into our emotions. The Bible gives us a few key elements about reading our hearts, our words being a primary one. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if something is coming out of my mouth, it's because it's in my heart. Now, I can be an actor, okay? Actors and actresses are false personas. They're reading from a script. And people fall in love with actors and actresses because they fall in love with the false personas. Then they get really upset when they find out their favorite celebrity isn't quite like they were in the movie. Yeah? Or they don't look quite so beautiful as the airbrushed version that gets put on the magazine. And so we can act, but here's the deal. When you are under pressure, the real words come out of your heart. Yeah? Which is another reason God allows pressure, allows the wilderness, because he knows that I don't know what's there sometimes till it comes out of my mouth. If you hear someone that's often talking bitter words, it's because they have a bitter heart. If you hear someone that's often talking jealous words, it's because they have jealousy in their heart. If you hear someone that's often talking fearful words, it's because fear is in their heart. If you have someone that's often talking kind words, it's because there's kindness in their heart. Whatever is in here comes out. So we want to just keep walking that one through. And our treasure, he said, also gives us an insight into our hearts. Your money. What do you do with your money? If today someone gave you £10,000, what do you immediately think you would do with it? Where my treasure goes is an indicator of what my heart's like. And our thoughts contain our feelings. I'm just trying to go back over it quick. Search me, O God, David says, and know my heart. And that's our prayer, Lord. I don't know it, but you do know it. And I want it to look like you. Our hearts pick up their messages and begin to form their beliefs very early on in life. Do you remember this? Even in the womb. And, you know, I could give you examples of where heart beliefs have been picked up when the person, the child, was still in the womb. Things that were said, atmospheres that were encountered, emotions that the mother that's carrying them feels come into the heart of the child. And so we pick up things in the womb, and very early on in life, we are like the wet concrete that if a cat walks over it or a chicken or, yeah, then when it's finished walking, next morning, it's now set, but it's set with the paw prints. And our hearts are like that. We experience hostility, rejection, abuse, trauma, fear, unkindness, wounding of some kind. And that goes, and it shapes our hearts. Jesus says, I've come to set you free. Yeah. I think this is good news. We talked about the cycle of the broken heart. Do you remember this? And the three areas. This correlates to three of the soil types. The wounded heart. The hardened heart. And the defiled or cluttered or distracted heart. The hardened heart, the wounded heart, we begin. Because we get wounded in life. Anybody not been wounded in life? Anybody not had things that broke you or upset you? Hurt you? The deal is here that, you know, I know as a parent, I was the first person to love my children. And I was the first person to hurt my children. Yeah? Because that's what happens. Home is a place of love, but unless you have a perfect set of parents, totally perfect, then at some point they will wound. Okay? Because we are fallen. And so we begin with wounds quite early on. And those wounds become our lens. They become the view that we see life through. They become our filter on God and other people. The wounded or the broken heart, you know, rejection, manipulation and control, lack of love, abuse, criticism, occult activity. There's a number of things. They put a wound in our heart. And those wounds then lead to feelings of rejection, inferiority, low self-esteem, lack of confidence, guilt, shame, withdrawal, pain at the core. They prevent us being able to love or to trust. We pick up lies, ungodly beliefs, we call them, about ourselves and about God and others. Their entry is our wound. Do you understand that? What are your wounds today? This isn't a heavy thing. Where's it hurting today? Yeah. Where doesn't it feel quite safe? Where does it feel nervous? Where does it feel afraid? Okay, Holy Spirit, could you come into that place? Why don't we ask Him? Lord, where's it hurt today? Where am I feeling insecure? Where am I feeling rejected or in pain? Lord, I invite you into that place. The healer. The comforter. Thank you for coming into those places, Lord. Even again today. Some of you, I see Him just like pouring oil over you. Even while we just prayed that little prayer. There's a healing oil. There's an oil of love. Thank you, Jesus. So we get a wound and we also get a lie, what we tend to call ungodly belief. And here's how what it looks like. If you, in the natural, we understand this principle. If you cut your hand, and the cut remains, say you slip with a knife when you're cutting the vegetables, yeah? I got one of them on my finger when I was cutting a carrot the other day. And thankfully, I didn't slice half my finger off, which was almost what happened. You get a wound, and if it's open or a bit of dirt around, you get something in the wound that then infects it. Yeah? So now you've got two problems, a wound and an infection. Okay? Our hearts get the same. I get a wound, something happens that hurts me, and then into that the devil sows an infection, which is a wrong belief. Okay? So, I'm at school as a little kid, and someone comes up and, you know, punches me in the face and says, ha 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 ha. And I get up and I'm thinking about it and I'm upset. And it's like, oh, there must be something wrong with me. I'm inferior. I'm not as good as them. Is that true? Of course not. But the lie, the infection, came in with the wound. Do you understand this? And so God is on a double mission to my heart. One, to heal the wound. Two, to replace the lie. And so he's after these things because he wants me healed and he wants me living in the truth. And so our enemy is out to wound and sow his garbage into us. And so Jesus comes to deal with both of those things. And then we have the hardened heart, which is our response. So I get hurt, and then I put up the walls. They hurt me, so, yeah? A hard heart is a wherever inside you're going, do you ever go, do you ever take that breath? No one's going to. A hardened heart usually has an emotion like, anger or pride, arrogance, or it could be unbelief or fear. These are the dominant emotions that come with a hard heart. I hate you. I don't believe you. I'm angry with you. I'm bitter about you. I'm afraid of you. These things are the hard bits. Yeah? Anything, any emotion that sounds like a punch. Yeah? Is in the hardened heart. Because it's a punching attitude. The problem, of course, is that when we harden our heart to one another, we also harden it to God. Because we don't have two hearts. I don't have one heart for him and one heart for you and one for him. Unless I keep this one soft with you, I can't be soft with him too. So he has to work on me because he hasn't given me two hearts. He's only given me one. Some of us would love it if we had a God heart and a people heart. Wouldn't you? If I could have a God heart and a people heart, I could be as closed off as I like to the people and as open as I like to him. But it doesn't work like that. We've got one heart. What you are to him is what you are to them. And so he's at work on us to help us soften our hearts. And Hebrews 3 and 5 tells us that the hardened heart stops you entering into your destiny. They could not enter because of unbelief. He says, be careful that there isn't in you an evil heart, a hardened heart. So we've got to be diligent on that one too. And a hardened heart, in the same way that a wounded heart carries with it what we just said, an ungodly belief, like I'm not good enough, or people hate me, or, you know, I'll always fail, or blah, 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 blah. A hardened heart picks up what we call an inner vow. Okay? That is, I will never let anyone, blah, blah, yeah. I will always... No one will ever. And we make a vow. Have you ever made vows inside you? Have you ever said, no one's ever going to? I'm always going to. When we make those vows, first of all, there's usually an element of anger and pride in there. Yeah? And once we've made those vows become like the little... tank driver. Have you ever seen a tank driver? They're sat down right in the bottom and, You don't see them, you see the big turret and all the others, but down in the little bit in the bottom, there's the driver. And our inner vows are like the tank driver. Somewhere down inside us, they are steering where we go. Because I just said over my life, I am never going to. Yeah? And so where we've got inner vows, we have to identify them and break agreement with them. All right? And let him change us so we're not steered by that. And really what I'm doing here, I'm covering like about 10 sessions in one here, because really I would like to take an hour on just what I've just said. But we can't do that, but maybe we'll come back to it. And if you want, we could do a Q&A time at some point, okay? Then we have the third part, the defile. So I get hurt, I become hard, and because I'm now hard, but I've been designed to feel loved, I've got to now find something else to make me feel okay. Okay? Do you understand that? You were designed to feel okay. God made you to feel okay in here. But he made you to feel okay because you were feeling his love. And when we harden our hearts, no one's coming near. Now I've got a problem. I can't feel loved now because I've kept him outside. Do you get this? And so what I do then is I have to look for something else to make me feel okay. And so that's when we then go to substitutes, and probably we'll go through a lot of that tomorrow and talk a bit more in detail. But what a love, you know, what do we do? It could be drugs or drink, sex, pornography, you know, excessive TV, fantasy, eating because we love eating. And it's good to eat, and God loves eating. But we do it to feel okay. And yeah, we all need those comfort meals now and then. It's not that this is a big issue, but it's if that becomes our lifestyle, yeah? Social media addictions. Over-traveling. Oversleeping. Relationships, pets. I mean, pets is a big one. And, you know, I don't want to tread on anybody's toes here today. But, you know, the thing about pets are that pets, like dogs and cats, love their owner unconditionally. Okay? And so if we've got a problem feeling loved by people, we can put a pet in. Okay? And it will love me. Whatever I do, it'll love me. Whatever I wake up like in the morning, it will love me. But and that's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's a substitute, or can be, for how we should be with God. However I wake up in the morning, he still loves me. And I can feel his love today. And his love's pouring over my life. Because that's how we were designed. But this third category throws us in to having to look for something alternative to make us feel okay. And so our dependencies at that point often become our idols. As I say, we'll try and do some of that tomorrow. I did this last time. So the heart conditions in the soils, if you want the equivalent soils, the wounded heart is like the wayside or the path in Jesus' story, because this is the story about a piece of soil that got trodden on. And it's the way people walk. And another one walks over it. And another one walks over it. And before you know, it's been downtrodden into this path. And the problem with that path is that if you put a seed on it to grow, if you chuck a seed at it, it can't go in. And the bird takes it away. And that's what happens with our wounded places. God's trying to say, I love you. I care about you. Hey, I've got a plan for you. Have you thought about what I've got for you next week? But this wound stops that word from going in, And the demonic comes and says, I'll have that one. And takes it away again. And so he wants to heal these parts of our hearts. These are things we can work on. These are, if you like, these are kind of fairly easy ways to work with God on our hearts. Lord, which one of these three do you want to talk to me about today? What's going on? The hard heart is like the rocky soil. The defiled heart is like the weeds and the thorns. These are areas of our hearts where he's at work. Okay, I'm repeating what I said. So if you remembered all this, that's great. But some of you weren't there. Jesus can interrupt that cycle at any time. He comes to heal where we're wounded and broken, to soften where we're hardened, and to clean up where we are defiled. These are the three works of the Holy Spirit on your heart. Three angles, three approaches of the Holy Spirit. Healing, softening, and cleaning. Three angles. And we need all three to be working. Because throughout our life, we will always be either discovering a wound we forgot about, or it's buried somewhere, or we just got wounded again today. Yeah? And I need you to heal me again today, Jesus, because this one is really hurting me. Yeah? All our lives, there'll be more bits to soften up. There'll be choices where in the morning something happens and I am not going to talk to that person again. I am not. Yeah? Do you ever have those? No? Who said no? There'll always be more. And there'll always be those little things, even if we've dealt with all the big habits. There'll be those little times where it's like, Lord, I went to that thing instead of to you. Do you ever do that? God, I've had a real hard day. Let's just find a bottle. Or it might just be, give me my coffee. And it's fine. But if I go to the coffee and not to him, things are out of sequence. Okay. So, we've read this already. We talked about the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And sin in my life falls into two categories, we said. Well, the two main categories, these are the ones we're talking about. The things I do and the things other people do to me. Yeah? Sin affects me because of what I've done, and sin affects me because other people sin against me. Okay? I'm affected on two levels, my own and theirs. Have you? Who has never sinned? Who has never felt the effects of your sin? But also, who has never had someone sin against you? Who has never had someone hurt you? We felt the effects of other people's sin. Yeah? And so these two categories are things we are dealing with all the time. And we talked about two buckets. Do you remember this? Some of you were here. It's just like, this is a picture. I'm carrying two buckets in my life, my own sin and other people's sin. And our hearts become clogged up from both buckets. It's like, as I go through life, go through the day, you know, in goes the bad thought. And then there's the bad word. And then there's the attitude. And then I did that. And we go through life and our bucket fills up with stuff, doesn't it? But on the other side, the other bucket, I'm going through life and someone hurts me, someone lies to me, someone abuses me. And each time it's like throwing another stone into the bucket. Yeah? Until we're walking around with two big bucketfuls of stones. And the thing about it is that actually you can get used to it. I mean, you can get used to a backpack that's heavy. to the point that you don't notice you've got it on because you've become used to it. And we can get used to the things that land in our hearts. And we need the Holy Spirit to say, hang on, let's get to both those buckets, shall we? And clean them out. And so sin is toxic, whether it's my own or someone else's against me. It needs to be taken to the cross because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Yeah? Now, will everyone receive the benefit of that? No. But is it available? Yes. Yeah? Every sin I have ever committed, maybe am committing, will commit, was put on the cross on him. Yeah? And every sin against me that someone else does to me, did to me, is doing to me now, or will do to me, was put on the cross. Jesus said, here I am, put it all on me. And the Father got it all, one by one, if you like, and he put it on Jesus. And Jesus hung there, bled there, died there. With all of that sin, my own and the things people do to me, he took it. Now here's the deal. If he's taken it, I have no right to demand it of myself or someone else again. Some of us want quick forgiveness for ourselves, but less fast forgiveness for someone else. Well, I want you to forgive me straight away, Lord, but can you just make them suffer a bit for a while? Yeah? Can I just have an angry half hour first? Yeah? Who has angry half hours? We do, don't we? We want one rule from him, one rule for us, and one rule for another. Give me mercy, give them judgment. And he says, no, I either give you all mercy or you have judgment. James says, you can't have part of the law. You know, we've got to have it all or nothing. And thankfully, he took it all on the cross. Do I need to keep reminding myself? Of course I do. Because the enemy wants to take your eyes off the cross and put it onto the problem. Oh, Jesus, his blood poured out for us is enough to cleanse away all the toxins of sin. Glory to him. Glory to him. So my sin, I deal with through repentance. Jesus, Father, I am so sorry. I repent of saying that, of thinking that, of doing that. You know I thought this afternoon. You know I said that. You know I was angry then. You know I was proud then. I repent. Yeah? Repentance cleans out that first bucket. Forgiveness does exactly the same with the other bucket. Lord, that you know they said that to me, but I forgive them. You know they put me in that position, but I forgive them. You know they were angry and it hurt me. I forgive them. And we clean out the other bucket through forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness are the two sides of the same coin. This is the currency that applies the blood of Jesus to our hearts. Okay? And we talked it all through, but I'm just going back over it because I think it's quite important. And so this is the basis of what we're doing. It's the basis of of our hearts. It's the basis of where we are coming from. These foundational things affect everything we're teaching. Understanding our hearts, understanding how to read our hearts, understanding that dynamic of the cycle and the three parts that we need to deal with, understanding the need for healing, softening, and cleansing. Because in all honesty, sometimes the Holy Spirit homes in on one and sometimes another. Well, I go through a season maybe where he's healing things. Now, it will also soften and clean, but that's the priority. There are other times where he's on my case to get softer. Yeah. And other times where he's on my case to clean up things that don't need to be there. Yeah. And so we've got to understand these things. And we've got to understand that forgiveness and repentance have to become lifestyle. And you know, I've been teaching this for however many, I don't know how many years. Long time. Right? When was it? When we first, the Lord taught us about forgiveness. Like 94, 95, 96. 30 years. I've been teaching this for 30 years. And you would think it would be first thing every time. But often it's not. Often the Lord has to remind me. Or a friend has to remind me. Bex here is one of my big reminders of these things. Along with my wife. Do you think you need to forgive something here? If I'm having a rant. If I'm upset. Is there something to forgive? Because this is so, so important. Forgiveness, when we activate it, changes the story. It changes the ending. So does repentance. We had some close friends we lost touch with. We thought they'd moved to New Zealand quite a while ago now. And certain things were happening in our life. And the Lord showed us that we needed to forgive and forgive these people and repent of the way we had an attitude towards them. Because we wanted to know where they were, but we'd lost touch. And so we sat down, and actually it was Bex that kind of challenged me on this at the time. And I, okay, Lord, I repent of where I missed it with them, and I forgive them where this happened and that happened and that happened, because they'd been really good friends. That was on a Friday. On the Monday in the post, we used to have post in those days. On the Monday in the post, there's a letter from these people. Wes and Sharon, we just want you to know this is where we are. We'd love to be in touch. You see, forgiveness and repentance, unlock. Unlock. When Sharon's father passed away, his house was in a bit of a state, and the inheritance that should have come to her didn't really come, because he'd actually been living with another woman that wasn't Sharon's mum. She'd died. And it was all complicated. And he hadn't looked after the things that should have come to her. And I was meditating one day, and God said to me, did you ever forgive Sharon's dad for not giving her any inheritance, the inheritance she should have had? I said, no, I don't think I did. Like, God doesn't know that, but he wanted Yeah. So where I was, I said, Lord, I forgive Sharon's dad for not looking after things and giving it to someone else instead. The next day in the post, there was a check from the son of the woman that he'd been with. Said, I just think my mom would like you to have this. And enclosed the sum of money. When you release, it unlocks. When you hold it, it keeps it shut. And so these are things that we have to do if we want to walk in freedom. God is after our hearts. He's after every part. Not just because he wants to look at some, you know, brand new, nice, cultivated piece of ground, but because he wants to grow things there. He wants to sit there and have time with you there. The garden of my heart. My heart is my garden. Adam and Eve had a literal garden. Eden, it's called. But you and I, we have a heart garden. Your Eden today is in your heart. It was the place where God and man walked together, talked together. He wants to do that here. And he wants to come and cause a lot of stuff to grow. Fruitful. Good. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I can put on an act. I can put on fancy clothes. But when the crunch comes, I am the state of my heart. And so God is after this. So much. Little loving things he does. Whispers. Often we don't hear the whispers because we're not good at being still long enough or picking it up. So he shouts a bit louder. Still don't hear it, so he just kind of gives us a little nudge. Yeah. Puts us in a bit of a wilderness. Allows a bit of pressure. Not because he's being nasty, but because he loves us so much. I think we talked last time about when Simon Peter came back and Jesus was risen from the dead, and Peter's a disappointed bunny. You know, he's really sad. He's had enough. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And the worst time, the climax, was when he was warming his hands over a fire of coals. Jesus builds a fire of coals to make Peter face where it went wrong. Have you had any of those times since we talked last? Have you had any times where God's reminded you of things? Amazing the number of triggers he can use. Yeah. A place. You can be driving down a street and suddenly a memory. Oh. You can see a person, a memory. You can hear a song on the radio and you can remember instantly where you were when you heard that song once. God has a way of just saying, do you remember that? Can we go back there together? Will you let me go there? Will you let me come into that place? Because it's still a bit of a mess and it's quite painful for you. I want to come in there with you and turn it round. And you remember on that fire of coals, it wasn't just a fire to warm hands with this time, but on top of it, there was fish and bread. And Peter looks at it and he thinks, oh no, fire of coals, I blew it. Oh wow, wow. There's fish and bread. He can restore me. His hands can multiply things. And the Lord wants to take us back into some of those things that have hurt us. Not to punish us or make us freak. And really, he'll only go at the pace we can handle, so don't go digging for things he's not. But he wants to go there so he can put his miracle hands on top. So he can turn it round. As the healer. As the softener. And as the cleaner. So Jesus, this afternoon we thank you that you haven't come to us today as the judge. You haven't come today as the one that metes out punishment. But you've come as the one who opens our eyes where we can't see properly. Who binds up the wounds. Who opens the prison doors. Takes oppression off us. Who reverses our inner vows. Breaks our ungodly beliefs. Drives out the demonic garbage. And brings us into intimacy with himself. And I love the Song of Songs where it talks about the bride, which is us, in the desert. But she's not alone in that place. She's there with the beloved, with Jesus. And it says, who is this? Coming up from the wilderness. What's she doing? Leaning. Leaning on her. Because in all of his dealings, he's actually teaching us to lean. He's teaching us intimacy. He's teaching us to abide. He's teaching us to engage, to connect, to become one. Because that's how he designed us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move around this room as we finish this session this afternoon. Lord, I ask you to come. Holy Spirit, I ask you to sit on each person here. Look into their heart. And actually, the moment I said that, I could see his hands massaging some people. Like, I don't know, it's like to get the circulation going. It's like it's frozen. It's like it's been out in the cold. And he's massaging your heart right now. To say, let's get this thing working again. Let's get this flowing again. Holy Spirit. Some of us, when we've been in church for many years and we're really good at meetings, we're really good at worship, we're really good at preaching the gospel, we're really good at doing the stuff, but we're not really good at letting him get to our hearts. Problem is, if he doesn't have my heart, the other stuff dries up. Holy Spirit, come. Whew. can see him blowing on some of you. It's like you do on the coals on a barbecue or on your fire. Till it kicks up a little bit of a flame. He's blowing on the coals of your heart today. I see him pouring on oil. And I see him picking up a broom and sweeping. And he's come to do all of this. Take a minute. You might say all three, but think, which of those three do I need the most, or do I feel the most right now? Is it healing my heart? Is it softening my heart? Or cleaning my heart? Which do I need the most? Or which is he getting my attention over? Jesus. Just tell him, Jesus, I invite you. Tell him which of those it is. I invite you in. Come and do this today and set a course for my life where we can walk this out together. In Jesus' name.